Merry Christmas, Pantano. All right, whether you're watching online or in the cafe or right here in the room, welcome. I anticipate great things today, great things this morning. The last couple nights have proven great things are happening. We had a wonderful last couple nights. Thank you very much if you've been at December nights, helping out, serving, giving, sharing, whatever you've been participating. We've had a couple thousand people join us in spite of the weather. And just had a great time. The energy, the excitement, watching, especially the young faces as they were just in awe of the lights and the snowballs and the horses and all the different things that were going on. What a great, great time. I have been told, and you can go on to mypantano.church to find all the details, but I have been told that we're a little short on Hershey's chocolate and graham crackers. Evidently, our city has a s'more addiction. So there's a few other things we could use. So if you would go on there and see what else there is, what other needs that we can be a part of and put on your shopping list this week and bring those in, that would be wonderful. We would appreciate that. And we anticipate an even larger crowd this coming weekend. So we want to make sure that we are prepared for that. It's been fun to watch the anticipation, right? As it builds this kind of this season. For me, there's this incredible anticipation. Now, this may be a surprise for some of you. We're building a new building, right? I don't know whether you've heard or not. We're building a new student center. We're calling it Room for More because our students have outgrown their space, and we need to create some more space for them and for the children. So we're in the middle of that project. The final plans went in on Friday for final review. So early this week, we anticipate getting our permit. We've already got some dirt moving. If you saw that this week, we had some dirt arrive. This starts going to build up our space there. So we want to encourage you to be a part of this. Not just if, in case you just learned about it, you can go to roomformore.church and read all about it. But we also have a prayer team that has begun because, as you know, projects like this are great opportunities for you, for us, for the people working here. All of them are great opportunities, great conversations to teach people about who Jesus is. So if you would like to do that, roomformore.church, you just go on down toward the bottom. There's a place you can join the prayer team. Wendell Harris, one of our elders, is going to be leading that. And we're going to be sharing information and giving you things to pray about. All of us can be praying and being participating in it. But especially if you are a prayer warrior and want to be involved and really know what's going on to be praying about on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, please feel free to sign up there and join that. So for me, this is a great project because it brings such excitement, anticipation about, I just so want to get ready and start moving and going and all the work it's taken to get us. But at the same time, I lay awake at night sometimes with the anxiety of, oh my gosh, we're building a building. And all of the different decisions that have to be made and all the things. And sometimes our Christmas season is like that, is it not? We're excited. Some of us have family coming home. Some of us are not going to have all the family here because of one thing or another. Like for me, one of my daughters got married, and I have a new son-in-law, and now it's like, where are they going to spend Christmas, and what family, and are they going to do it themselves? And then we find out she's pregnant, and it's like, whoa, yeah. Little honeymoon baby there. It happens. So we're excited about that, but on the same time, sometimes holidays bring anxiety. This is going to be the first Christmas without my dad. So that brings the moments of loss. And so we want to encourage you during this season to embrace that. Those are real emotions. Those are real feelings. It's hard to be excited about a new baby and also feel the grief and the loss of a family member at the same time. But we're complex that way, and we're designed to do that. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that and know that there are greater things at work as we go through this Christmas season. It's not just about all the trappings. It's about us as human beings. Okay, so keep focused on that and keep pouring yourself into that as you think about what is really, really the purpose as you anticipate Christmas. Our series is called Bringing Christmas Home, and we're going to talk about bringing that into our neighborhood. And we're not talking about setting up a nativity on your front lawn. We're talking about bringing Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, home. So if you'll turn with me, and we'll start in John chapter 1. where Glenn led us to start with this whole series last week. John chapter 1, starting in verse 14, page 723. And keep your Bibles out. We're going to be running this morning. I'm going to take you through a few scriptures. So, John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh. What an incredibly difficult thing to understand. We think, now here's Matthew and Luke, they tell the story of the birth of Jesus, and here's what's happening, and Mary gets pregnant, and it's amazing, and it's miraculous, because she gets pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and they travel and do this, and John starts with this big overarching theme of saying, in the beginning was the Word, verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, is with God from the beginning. And in verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh. Jesus, the spoken Word of God, becomes flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty difficult concept to grab a hold of. All of a sudden, the Word is this little baby. John is speaking and sharing. It's like, this is a bigger concept. It's not just about celebrating the birth of a baby. It's about celebrating the fact that God put his Word into a human, into flesh and blood, to come and be amongst us so that we could hear. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The great thing about that word dwelling is it means tent. But if you remember in the Old Testament, as the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, and as they left, they built under God's direction a tabernacle, a tent. And he said, I'm going to dwell with you here. I will lead you, but I'm going to dwell in this tabernacle, in this tent, as I lead you through the desert to the promised land. And John, knowing his audience, knowing they would understand that, he puts this word in his eye, dwell with you. I'm going to be your tabernacle. I'm going to tabernacle with you. I'm going to tent with you. I am bringing my presence to you. And they would understand that as they read it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling, his tent, his tabernacle with us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the story that as we focus on, no matter what we anticipate for Christmas, no matter what levels of anxiety come, that is the story. That Jesus came to us, to dwell with us, to be in our midst, to be among us. Now, some of the people understood that and were looking for it. Some of the people had no idea Jesus was coming. So I want to look at the Magi, the wise men, and see how they can teach us and what they have to share with us in their journey to see the King, to find him. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, page 657 in the Bibles in front of you. Matthew chapter 2, you're going to get a workout today, so here we go. Matthew chapter 2. My question has always been, how did the wise men know? Here's what it says. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came. They came to Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem lies just outside, 5-6 miles outside of Jerusalem. So they come to Jerusalem to check in, to talk with the dignitaries, to say, hey, surely we've seen and know that there's a king. Surely you do. Where's the king? They ask, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? This is a little intimidating question because they're under Roman rule. So they come to Herod and they say, hey, King Herod, where's the new king, the King of the Jews? Where is he? He's been born. Where is he? That makes him a little nervous. And they say, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, I have always wrestled with this. And as I study scripture and as I look at it, I go, great, they saw his star in the east and they came to worship him. How come everybody else didn't see the star? I mean, we look at this picture, the wise men show up and they ask the king, hey, where's this king? Where's this king been born? Then he goes, I don't know. He calls the chief priests together and he's going, hey, where's the king going to be born? They all just say, what? Well, in Bethlehem. That's what Scripture says. So they know. These guys know the prophecy, the Old Testament. They know what's been said about the Messiah, the coming King of the King of Kings. They know where he's going to be born. Now, it seems like to me that they would set up and interview every single child's family that is born in Bethlehem to go, tell us about yourselves. Who are you? Where'd you come from? We want to find out if this is the King of Kings. Is this the Messiah? No. All right, next. And every baby, it seems like they would be the first ones there. Hey, congratulations. Now, let's talk. They know where the Messiah is going to be born, but they have no idea that he's already been born. How is that possible? How is that possible for them to do? And I ask that question, and I wonder in my own life, our lives, are we searching for the King? Are we searching for the King of Kings? Now, when I say that, I'm not asking, are we searching to find out about who God is? Do we know about God? You're in the room, most of you have some knowledge of God, some knowledge of Jesus, some teaching that you've heard, whether it's your first time in here or whether you've been here for years and years. I'm not talking about the knowledge piece. I'm talking about the searching for the King of Kings. Kings are meant to be followed. Kings want to rule. Our Messiah wants to save us and lead us and free us. Is that the King you're looking for? Are you searching for that King? The only reason why the wise men knew is because they were searching. They were looking. But here are the people who have understood, who read, who memorize the Old Testament, all of these scriptures that are full of prophecies about Jesus, the Messiah, coming, where he would come, about when he would come, what lineage he would come from. All of this information is there. They know about. They have it in their head. They could answer the question to Herod, well, where is he going to be born? Oh, scripture says Bethlehem. Well, why aren't we looking in Bethlehem? They knew about, but they didn't know. They didn't know. And as we talked about last week, as Glenn shared with us, God is for us. God is with us. And God wants to be known by us. He is not hiding. But it takes an eye to be looking. And I want to encourage you in your own search, wherever you are in your faith, wherever that is, as you have searched for something greater, as you have been open to that, as you start searching, you can start seeing clues along the way. One of my favorite things to do is be in the backstage when people are being baptized. It's like this great big birthing center. It's so much fun. Because people are declaring in a spiritual moment, saying, I want everybody to know that I choose to follow Jesus, that I want to make him the King of my heart, that I want to surrender everything else to him. And I love to be back there because I love to watch the emotion, I love to watch the experience they're having, but I also love to watch or ask the question, how did you know? Why is today the day? How did you know that you were going to do this? Oh, I didn't know. A lot of times. But all of them will answer, almost everyone answers, and many of you have been back there, and you've answered the same way. It was very personal. You knew. We get to that place of knowing because we've been following the clues. We've been looking for the Savior. We've been looking for the Messiah. We've been looking for the King of Kings. And when we know that we have found him, we move. Are you searching for the King? I began asking questions, and I keep asking these questions about how do these magi know, who were searching for the King, who found the King, who said there was a star, how did they know? They come from the east. 500 miles due east of Jerusalem is Babylon. It's the town of Babylon, a city of Babylon, is Sippar. Within Babylon, a city there, Sippar, one of four universities where the educated people were taken. The smartest of the smart. They were taken there, the scholars, they were educated. In Sippor, as we have looked and the archaeologists have been there and taken apart the city and found this university, they have found 1,500 years worth of stargazing. Every day they would watch the stars. And they didn't have all the telescopes and all the instruments we have now, but they would record. They were able to predict eclipses because they'd been watching the stars so long, they knew what was happening. But about 600 BC, somewhere in the middle of all this stargazing, all this watching, about 600 BC, an incredible event happened. And this is those clues. Are you following the clues in your own life? Are you looking at the clues? Because God is leaving clues so that you will find him, so that I will find him, so that others who don't know him will find him. And here's some of those clues. About 600 BC, Babylon comes in and conquers Jerusalem. The Jews knocks down the walls of the city and takes the best of the best, the smartest of the smart, and takes them with them and takes them back into exile, into Babylon. And it's in that era that we have the book of Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if those are familiar names to you, all their stories take place during this exile. They've all been taken over there. In the midst of that, Daniel does some amazing things. God gives him the power to interpret dreams. In the midst of that, King Nebuchadnezzar says to him, I'm going to put you in charge of all of the wise men. All of these scholars, Daniel is put in charge of. Daniel's a Jew. Daniel knows the Old Testament. He has learned it. He's read it. He's memorized it. It's his culture. It's his heritage. He brings it with him. Is it possible that Daniel is the one that introduces to all of these scholars, the Messiah is coming, you know. The King of Kings will be born. Here's some of the clues. We don't know for sure if that's the impact. We do know that these wise men were looking, and they were looking specifically for the King of the Jews. And it's quite possible that Daniel's influence, what man did and destroyed a city, God used to lay more clues. And isn't that the way it is in our lives? Some of the things, you know, if we could map out our life, we would map it out totally different than the way it's gone. We would do this, and we'd do this, and this would go perfectly, and I'd pick up that winning lottery ticket there, and then this would happen, and that would happen. All my kids would be perfect, and my life would be perfect, and my wife would be perfect, and it'd be wonderful. It'd be great. But oftentimes, God reveals himself in some of the most difficult and horrific times. The circumstances are the least comfortable. Some of the times when we have to work the hardest, God says, there you are. I'm right there with you. I'm right there for you. Keep following. Keep pursuing. Keep working. I'm right here. I'm walking right here with you. Turn to Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. All right, and here we go. We're going to get a workout now. Page 110. Some of the clues to find the king are written right here. And I want you to think about the clues in your own life. How has God left clues to point out who he is in your life? Numbers 24:17 says this, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star. Well, that'd get an astronomer's attention, wouldn't it? A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Scepter, king. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. There is a king that is coming, and the clue is the star. And they begin to watch. Now, I've always wondered, what kind of a star was it? You ever sat just outside, dark night, laid down, watched the stars looking for satellites? If you know the path of satellites, it's not hard to find them. But it's a big sky. And you blink, you miss it. If you're not looking in the right place, you miss. You know, looking into the stars is not easy to find things unless you know where you're looking. The space stations used to fly by. You can see it. You know where it's at. You know what part of the sky. Oh, that's where it's going to be. And you can find it. Otherwise, it's up there and you don't even know. just flies right on over. These men were trained to look at the stars. They're looking up. They're wondering what's going on. And I have always wondered, what kind of a star was it? I mean, some of us think it's a big, bright star. Wow, the wise men, you know, it's, if we take it simplistically, we look at it, these wise men, they saw the star, they followed the star, there's Bethlehem. Why didn't everybody else follow the star? Why didn't Herod take an army and follow the star? There it is, let's go follow it. That's where the king is, let's go get him before he has a chance to grow up. I don't think it was that kind of a star. I don't think it was just this magical thing that appeared in this big bright star and says, here I am, follow me. These wise men, these magi, it has a 1,000-mile trip. They had to get a caravan together, top speed of 20 miles a day. 20 miles a day. Took them a couple of months at least, if they made good time, to get there. Besides putting a caravan of people together, they could go and take all the stuff they needed, the supplies they needed to actually make the trip. It's a long journey. To follow what? There was something that happened in the sky that got their attention. Was it a couple of stars, a couple of planets coming together in alignment that made sense to them? That here you, we don't know. Maybe it was a star that only they could see. Maybe so. But we do know that they were looking. And for hundreds of years, they have been looking, and they saw something different. It changed. Which is hard for us to think about because, you know, we're the ones that yell at the microwave because it takes too long to cook. So for us, our anticipation of things is like, right now. Oh, I got to wait till tomorrow? Hundreds of years they've been watching, seeing what is happening, what the skies tell them. And their clue is there's a star that will reveal a king, and it's coming. Look at Jeremiah 23, page 534. Some more clues. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will be in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Another key. Another clue for people who are reading and understanding, and there is a whole bunch more of messianic prophecy, prophecy about the Messiah hidden in Scripture that's all there that all of these scribes and Pharisees knew. All the chief priests knew these things, but they were living day to day. They were not looking at the clues, but these wise men were looking for the king. 2 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel speaking to David. Chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, page 211. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, David, when you die, here's what's going to happen. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. It's not lost on us that both Joseph and Mary were of the lineage of the house of David. He was a relative way back. They're carrying his bloodline, and it's these two that God chooses. Again, why isn't everybody watching every relative of the house of David to find out who's having children? If we were really watching and paying attention to the clues, wouldn't we investigate? Wouldn't we do that? I don't know. Why don't you and I see the clues that God leaves for us? Why do we look past them? And I'm not talking just about finding God. I'm talking about knowing God and how he leads us and how he wants to move us and take us places. Put calls on our life and say, now is the time. I want you to do this. This is the place. This is what you can do. I want to do this through you. Here it is. Here's all the clues. And we dismiss them. We look past them. We think we're not comfortable. And we move on. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, page 636. And the Bible's in front of you. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. That word Ephrathah could also be translated Judah, but it distinguishes this Bethlehem from other Bethlehems. The incredible accuracy of Scripture. There's more than one Bethlehem. This Bethlehem, Ephrathah, is the one that's right outside Jerusalem, is the one where Jesus was born. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, though you're tiny, though you're this little place over here, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. The Word of God, who was with God in the beginning, is the Word of God that will be born, the baby Jesus, in this tiny little town of Bethlehem, where everyone else says, what good comes from there? Because they're not looking. And if you think through some of the clues in your own life, when has God made himself the most real to you? Has it been in those huge, big moments when you get so excited you can't even see straight? Or has it been in the quiet moments, the small moments, the little places, the most unexpected times, the most unexpected conversations, when God gives you another clue and reveals to you his character, his heart, his love for you, and he calls you to him, and he makes a personal invitation to you to say, I love you. Come follow me. I am with you. I am for you. In those small, tiny, unexpected places. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Last one. You can rest your fingers after this. Page 654. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, the agreement with God, that messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. I think about that sometimes when I'm talking to people backstage as they're getting ready to make a huge decision or in the process of making it. It's that suddenly word. Then suddenly, the Lord will come. Suddenly, in a moment, in an instant, the Lord reveals himself in ways. Why? Is it because he's been keeping it a secret? No, it's because our eyes are open. We've been seeking. We've been following the clues. We've been wondering what will happen. It's those moments. It's in those moments that we begin to know God at a very deep level. Not just to be aware of, and I'm not talking about just knowing. I mean, a lot of you can answer a lot of Bible questions. You can talk about God. You can talk about what you think of God. We can make up a story, and it'd be pretty accurate. I'm talking about knowing God. In my marriage, I've realized I knew my wife a little when we got married. So we dated for 2 months, got engaged, were engaged for 5 months, got married. We're like, that's pretty quick. How much do you find out in 7 months? Well, some things you don't find out in 7 months, I can tell you that. It goes both ways. I knew her some, and I know her a lot more now. And I can't imagine how much more I'm going to know in another 20 years. But that's how relationships work. It's not about knowing her and describing her to you. It's about describing her heart to you that changes my understanding. It's not about coming to church. It's about celebrating with the church. And that is who the wise men are looking for. They're looking for the king. They're anticipating finding this king. They say, there is a king. We know, we've read, we've researched, we've looked, we've seen, we know the star. Here he is. He has been born. Where is he? I'm sure they were a little shocked that no one else knew. They walk into Jerusalem and go, woo, where's the king? We made it. All right, where is he? And there's no parties going on. You know, it's like they're, what do you mean? Who? The king of the Jews? No, there's, this is about the king of Rome. This isn't the king of Jews. We don't talk about that. Well, what do you mean? He's been born. We know. We've seen his star. What are you talking about? And then they start asking questions about each other. They had so missed it. And you and I are in that same place sometimes. You ever felt left behind? Somebody has this great, they hear something, they're moving, and it's like when you're looking at them going, what? Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is the rest of the people. But the Magi have heard, and then I want you to hear their response. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, they have met with Herod. They have said, where is he? They say, I don't know. The chief priests and Herod have conferred, and he said, that it's in Bethlehem, it's what scriptures say. And they leave. The Magi leave to go find the king. Verse 11 says this, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Now watch this response. To this child, they fell down and worshiped him. They did not discriminate against him because he's just a child. Say, oh, you're just a child. Wait till you're older and have a robe, and then we'll come and kneel at your feet. No, they recognized his position. They recognized this is the word of God come to them. This is the Messiah. This is the King of the Jews. And they worshiped him. Now, look at this next verse. Of what their response. First, they kneeled down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, their response to the king was to open their treasures. They opened their heart. They opened their treasures to the king. See, a lot of times when we're seeking, if we're not seeking the king, if we're not following the clues, we can meet the king and we can have a closed heart. I got nothing to do with you. But they had been seeking the king. They had been following the clues. And when they come before him, they open their treasures and they present him with gifts. Their response as they met the king. And I want you to continue to think about that and process that. As we think about bringing Christmas home to our neighborhood, it is easy for us to say, nope, I'm closing up. But our response isn't to our neighborhood. Our response is to the king. And the king says, will you worship me? Will you follow me? The question for us is, are you willing to open your treasures to the king? Are you willing to open your heart generously to the king and give to your neighborhood? Whatever your neighborhood is, I'm not even going to define that for you because it's yours. Now, here's the thing I want you to wrestle with. In a minute, we're going to sing a song. I want you to keep wrestling with it because this is where God is speaking to you and I. Some of you know exactly what he's called you to do. What gifts he wants, what treasures he wants you to open, and where he wants you to serve. When you walked in, you got one of these about Serve Our City. On the 23rd, Sunday the 23rd, we've decided to not meet here, but we want to meet out there. Why is that? Some of us think, well, why are we not having church? Oh, we're having church because church is wherever we go. We're taking the clues to the kingdom to our city. A lot of you have been incredibly gracious with others. You have been so faithful. Many people are in this room because somebody in here brought you, invited you. Family members opened up their hearts, opened up their testimony and shared their life, their journey, how they have followed the clues of the king in their own life. And that's why you're here. But we have a city that some 93% don't go to church. We have an opportunity to take some clues by serving our city, that we can take clues about who our king is, who we follow, out to them. Now, I want to open this up. There's the directions here. Here's what you do. Here's how you sign up. We have shirts next week and all this, all the logistics. But I want to encourage you that if you go online and find some, you know, as you go, you don't have to fit into one of the boxes we have made. There is not enough space for the things that we have connected with as a church and kind of organized to give us a start. But God has given you a clue. He's put on your heart. Many of you already know what you need to be doing, an opportunity that is right there, something you have maybe not done. By not being here at church in this room on Sunday, you can be the church at that place. We're giving you permission to follow the King, to do what he has asked you to do, to take clues, to bring hope to the city around us, so that they will look up and say, there is something different. There is a King, and I want to follow him too. And we do that with our hands and our feet. And we can go out and serve and make a difference and leave some of those clues. And I want to encourage you as we sing to think about how you can bring hope to our city. And if you're watching online from another state, another city, another country, same thing. To your neighborhood, may you go and take the hope that you know and share with them so that they too may see the glory of God in their midst.